queer and wonderful.
Who wrote that?
I don't know it off the top of my head, but somebody did write it. I don't know whether it will make it into our regular rotation or not, but we gave it a valiant effort, and I do like it. I sent it to Kurt earlier, and I said, what do you think? And Kurt goes, on first impression, I like it. So it was fun. Thank you for joining in on that. Will you join me now in a moment of prayer? Loving Spirit of grace, mercy, and peace, help us to find and feel the flow of love around us. Help it to move us, to change us, to transform us, to carry us into the realm of God. Grant us an awareness of your presence with us. And may the words of my mouth and the reflections of all of our hearts be beautiful in your sight. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. We are indeed in relationship with one another and everything around us. We move through life in a delicate balance where work and home life and our commute in between and an assortment of other responsibilities all can impact and affect each other. Sometimes these things complement one another. Sometimes they conflict. But always they have some sort of effect on one another, where one will move and change the other in some way because each moves and changes ourself. My work, for example, in putting together the service of remembrance for victims of suicide later this week, it pulls me out of my usual orbit and takes me to some very challenging places, socially, culturally, theologically, and personally. Moving in depth through spaces of the things that we would just rather not talk about. I don't know that there's ever been such a service before, certainly not in Northern Virginia. It needs to happen at least once. And so I do invite you to attend if you are able to. The parable in today's lectionary pericope appears only in the Gospel of Matthew and has been unpacked and understood in many ways over the years. Some of the things that I always look for in any passage of Scripture: what does the passage tell me about God? What does the passage tell me about humanity? About people, about human nature? And what does the passage tell me about God's relationship to humanity and humanity's relationship to God? Now, this story is told perhaps in response to Peter's question in Matthew 19, verse 27, who apparently, speaking on behalf of all of the disciples, asked, "We left everything to follow you. What of us? What will we have?" With the footnote and subtext being that we were here first, which implied some sort of assumed privilege among the disciples. We are the first, after all, and so we are the best. And while Jesus did indeed, "Verily I say unto thee," promise them thrones and a hundredfold return, this parable also seems to indicate that such rewards may be equally accessible to all in the realm of God. Accessible for all who follow, for all who work, for all who work to make this a better world, a better place. The Jewish writer Elie Wiesel said, "God made us because God loves stories." I know I quote it too often, but I think it's true. I know I love a good story, and clearly Jesus loved a good story. The Gospels are full of them. He told them, taught with them, and lived them. And the parable related today in story, I think, is actually bouncing off a bit of Deuteronomy, the law, which Jesus taught and lived in relationship to. Quote, more or less, "Thou shalt not oppress or take advantage of a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether they be of your own tribe or people, or a foreigner, alien, or refugee in your city and land. Pay them fairly what is owed to them on the day that it is earned, before the sun sets. For being poor and needy, the worker is counting on it to feed and care for their family." lest they cry out to God against you. And thus it becomes a sin against you. Now, they didn't have Home Depots in the days of Deuteronomy. But I always think of this passage whenever I go past one and see day laborers, workers living and working from hand to mouth, workers waiting for the possibility of being hired for the day, even in thousands of years and half a world away. We really haven't journeyed very far. Treat them fairly, lest they cry out to God against you. Thus it becomes a sin against you. I think this is the part that Jesus was working with in regard to the realm of God, a sin against you. One of the best definitions of sin is something that breaks relationship, something that breaks or otherwise damages the state of right relationship. In this parable, Jesus is revealing something important about the nature of God, revealing something about the great grace and mercy of God. Again, that being in relationship with us is more important than what may seem fair to us. I think he's saying we don't do these things, treat others fairly with grace and mercy in order to garner favor with God. As in Deuteronomy, but in the realm of God, we grant grace to others as God has granted grace to us. I think this story is also a cautionary tale for any one of us, for all of us, when we, like the disciples, begin to think that we have paid our dues, that we are deserving, somehow more deserving than another, more worthy than another, more valued as a worker for our actions, deeds, position, or time in the trenches. But the grace of God transcends those things. Unlike human nature, which is highly prone to comparison and competition. Human nature is complicated. We fuss and complain about it in others, and yet it is a part of all of us. These feats of clay that we have. The people in this parable are so human. They are so very human. Thousands of years have not changed or dimmed the nature of humanity to compare and to compete. To this day, we discourage employees from talking to each other about their salaries. Why? Well, it's right here in the parable. The landowner really should have paid his employees with their wage in an envelope so that no one knew what any of the others were earning. Because, well, paying every employer, every worker the same wage for doing different things for different amounts of time, well, that's just not fair. That's not fair. And yet, expecting or assuming more, that is the essence of privilege. Humans, to varying degrees, seem hardwired to engage in comparison and competition. And money is often a way of keeping score. But if it's not money, it will be something. It will be power. It will be authority. It will be attention, accolades, righteousness, godliness. Or among nations, it will be bombs. It will be missiles. Ours are bigger than yours. Well, ours are better than yours, so there. Almost everyone, in one way or another, wants to be on top, wants to be first. Wants to be better than all the others. That is all too often the way of our world. But that is not the way of the realm of God. The realm of God, the place of peace. The place of peace that is coming. The place of peace that we are near in the here and the now. It reminds me of the words of wisdom from a more recent prophet. Now you're climbing to the top of the company ladder. Hope it doesn't take too long. Can't you see there'll come a day when it doesn't matter? Come a day when you'll be gone. I understand about indecision, but I don't care if I get behind. People living in competition. All I want is to have my peace of mind. From the first book of Boston, chapter 2. Now, of course, the parable Jesus related addresses work in the vineyard. where we are all workers together for the greater glory of God, and God's rewards are not handed out in accordance with what people think they deserve. This is not a competition. Our hands work together doing different things, but we are all trying to work for the good, the greater good, and all things work together for good for they who love God. And yet still I promise you, while in the vineyard there is human nature. People bump up against one another. The growing edges of one cuts into someone else. Tender places on wounded people are pressed, sometimes inadvertently or accidentally, and sometimes on purpose. And the social lubricant of grace is often not granted, nearly so often as it is needed. And yet the grace of God is present always in the realm of God, in the place where we can exist, where we can be in right relationship with God and with each other. We in the GLBTIQQ communities, we and those who rise and work with us side by side, all of us together, we who are quirky, queer, and wonderful, we who are not only coming late to the work at hand, but we who were kept from the vineyard, walled out by other workers who feel righteous in their judgment and policing of what they believe to be the labor practices required in order to help make the world a better place. We have been kept from work in the vineyard for far too long. And while some of the long-term workers are beginning to thin out now, we are here to do our part. Quirky, queer, and wonderful, though we all may be. Because we have been called. Hey, what are you people doing? Just standing around idle all day. Here, you go into my vineyard too. We have been called. The realm of God doesn't work the way people work. But the realm of God works the way that people can work together in right relationship. And in the realm of God, we are all workers together. But hey, the realm of God, I don't know, it looks pretty communist to me. Certainly socialist. And so I can hear the cautionary whispers of some down through the ages. Let's not talk too much about that parable part, okay? That part where everybody gets treated equally, regardless of work. Let's not talk much about that. Relationship and substance. Some still long and linger over that thought of a big, powerful God, one of great substance, substantial, big, powerful in the ways that humans consider powerful, bigger, better, and winning. Our God's bigger than your God. Our God's better than your God. It's that competition thing again. It's all about relationship, relationship with, not power over. If we could begin to see that, as people, as cities, as states, as governing bodies, as nations. It is not about being first. It's not about winning. It is about being in relationship with everything, with this earth, our cosmos, our bodies. We exist in a complex interdependency, one that can and will collapse if we are not willing to honor the primacy of relationship. When we begin to think that we are self-sufficient, that it is us against the world, that we need no one else, that we can stand alone, then we wall ourselves off from the other. We become hard, cold, unchangeable, and less than living human beings. It is indeed all about relationship, and relationship requires change. A willingness to change. Anyone who has ever entered into a relationship with another human being can testify to that. A relationship requires some change. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I work in all of my relationships to try to be open to change, to movement, to growth. And that feels scary at first, and generally I fail miserably. And while it can be scary, I can't be scared. And yes, I will step on some toes. I already have. But like my dad said, if you don't step on a few toes, then you're not dancing. And I like to dance. And so I try hard to grant everyone the same grace that I rely on in order to move through my work in the vineyard. Regardless of when any of us got here or what we are doing. And relationship is hard. It feels vulnerable, and it is vulnerable. It is working all day and earning the same wage as those who worked 1 hour. And it is learning to be okay with that. Because the realm of God is not like the world in which we exist, but it can be the realm in which we live. Because life is not a contest. It's not a competition. It's not a race to get ahead, to be on top, to win, to come in first. It's all about relationship. God's relationship with us and our relationship with all those around us. All those who are also equally quirky, queer, strange, odd, and wonderful. Every single one of us. If nothing else, that song empowers us to admit who we are and grants us the freedom to be who we are. Whether we, like me, sing off key or whether we're afraid of spiders. We have that permission to be who we are. In closing, if you're feeling kind of low about the dues you've been paying, future's coming much too slow. I understand about big decisions, but I don't care if I get behind. People living in competition. All I want is to have my peace of mind. Find your peace of mind. None are more deserving than another. None are more worthy than another. None are more valued as a worker than another. Regardless of actions, deeds, position, dues paid, or time in the trenches. The grace of God transcends those things. And your best bet in any kind of divine competition is to focus on relationship and always, always to prayerfully consider last place.